Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 109, part 1, Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Today is Friday, August 7th, 2009. Hello, thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. A bit about Pastor Paul's mission. You know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? Because we have no boundary restrictions. So if you live in Minnesota, you can come to Pastor Paul's, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue. It is located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online to get a little bit more information about Pastor Paul's, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. And there you're also going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcasts, where you can leave those comments, make those suggestions, or give a testimony. You're also going to find scriptures to the messages located in the show notes, so be sure to check out those scripture links. Also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. If you've been following Pastor Paul's podcast, you know that we do have two parts. Each message is broken down into two parts. One is aired on Friday. I try to post it Friday by evening, and on Sunday as well. So be sure to listen to both parts of the message, and I hope you're getting a lot out of them. I know I am. Now, this month, the month of August, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some titles of the messages that we're going to post this month. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Jesus, the Light of Men, Faint but Not Faint of Heart, A Vain Showing. Those are some of the messages for the month of August. Well, August in Minnesota is really nice and hot. It's a great month to come and visit. So again, I'm encouraging you, if you are from out of town, come on in and enjoy some Minnesota hot weather. And at the end of the month, a little sign that summer has come to an end for us in Minnesota is the Minnesota State Fair. We call it the Minnesota Get Together. It is the best, the best. I'm going to leave a link all month in the show notes to the Minnesota State Fair. I've been going to the fair forever. I'm not quite that old forever, but I love the fair. It's so much fun. You can do everything at the fair. Be sure to check out their site map. Okay, that's it for me. I will see you back here on the intro for September. I hope you have a great month and listen to each of his messages this month. They're absolutely going to be the best. God bless you. Have a great month.
Today's message is entitled, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Comes out of 2 Samuel 5:24 and 25. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and he smote the Philistines from Geba until come to Gezer. David's life, as you well know, was one of war. And you know what? I started to think our lives as Christians is a war too. How many know what I'm talking about? Your life is a spiritual warfare. Then our Lord says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I have come not to send peace, but a sword. Of course, the end of all of his great work, it says that the lion will lay down with the lamb. But not for now. Your cause in Christ will always bring conflict. Always. You come down here in the morning, you go to work, you're doing the mission work, or you're doing the work of the Lord. It will bring conflict. Things won't just go the way that you think that they should go all the time. There'll always be a conflict when you're a Christian, especially when you're an active Christian. And you're going to see this battle until the very day that you leave. Oh, thanks a lot. That's all I needed to hear, I hear someone saying. And David had won one great victory over the Philistines, but you know what? He was not permitted to sit down. Not permitted to sit down and congratulate himself and say, wow, wasn't that a great, great war we had? No, sit down with these war stories and go back into the past and glory in the past. You know why? Because the Philistines came again. These Philistines, you see, were tough. They would bounce back time after time after time, over and over and over. So it is them with the powers of evil. They are not content anywhere with being defeated once or twice. Evil is down and it looks like you got it licked, and all of a sudden one little eye opens up. Do you ever go to one of them movies and it shows this guy is down and the hero turns his back and the guy sort of raises up a little bit and he peeks out of one eye, and that's how evil is. You think you have it all taken care of. And that's after we get saved. Say, now I'm free. I feel like I'm totally free. You start to rely on yourself, and then those old things, those old evils creep back in again. They sort of raise up on one elbow, look around. Maybe they put on a different face. But it's the same old evil. You think, oh man, I thought I had that whipped. There it is, riding on your back. World calls it a monkey on their back. Woo! But they're not content anywhere with being defeated once or twice. They're up on us again. Come on, they're saying, try me just one more time, they sneer. They hope to overthrow us. And so again and again, we must resist them. That same sin comes on in so many, many disguises. But I believe then our war cry must be like this. They compassed about me, yea, they compassed about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. I'll tell you a little secret. When I came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean really knowing him and getting deliverance, the scripture opened up to me, commit your ways unto the Lord. And so every time that I had one of my ways come up again, the old devil raising up and saying, hey, this is the way you are, then somewhere in my system I would agree. I say, uh-oh, no, I commit my ways unto the Lord. I say, oh, yeah, that's true, that's the way I am. I'm going to commit that way unto the Lord. And I got free. So it's a continual committing your ways unto the Lord, because it says in the Bible, his ways are way above our ways, and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. And so you see, He is the answer. Commit your ways unto the Lord and always acknowledge Him. You know something else? There's always a war right after the victory. Did you ever notice you got the victory and whoa! You got the victory and you're feeling so good in it. And there's another war right after that. Right after it. The enemy comes on sometimes twice as strong. Twice as dangerous because now it's wounded. Are you hearing this? Well, then I'm not going to fight no battles because then it'll come on. No, but you're twice as strong. You're twice as knowledgeable in the Lord, and now you know that you must trust in the Lord. And that your hope is not in yourself, but that your hope and your trust is in the Lord, and you've already won one battle by faith. Why should you now go back and work it out in the flesh? God is with you. I think whenever that we go out, we should be like David. He always waited upon the Lord. We should always wait upon the Lord for direction and for help. And oh, there'll be so many voices when you're waiting for direction. And you'll be sitting there waiting for it. And I'm not talking about being a sluggard about it. And while you're waiting, you don't just sit. You're about busy doing the Lord's work. And as you walk and as you do, God gives you the answer. But you see, we have to be busy doing the Lord's work, but we have to wait on the Lord so He can give us direction. And that's what's wrong. A lot of times we don't have direction. We go off half-cocked and we go on and do things. God isn't in it. God isn't in it. I'll tell you, sometimes you can tell God is in things when it seems like everything is going wrong. When no one agrees. Hardly. So whenever we're about to do anything, I think we should always wait upon the Lord. But here David had received divine guidance before. But you see, counsel in one dilemma is not guidance for another. What are you saying? I'm saying that though David had been led of God for the first time to fight the Philistines, he didn't just take it for granted that God would give him the same direction again. And so he went again the second time, and it is written that David inquired of the Lord, and the answer he received was quite different. The first time God says, go up. And then the second time he said, thou shalt not go up. Same situation, different direction. So many times we can get locked in thinking we know the will of God and God did it that way before and you'll just do it the same way again and we step ahead of God. Now, you have to wait for that direction. And so people will come and ask, now you've been through this. What is your counsel on how to do this? Well, I say, I don't know. God showed me that way that time, but He might show if I were to have this thing that you're doing, the very same thing that I did the first time, then you're doing that, be the second time, I'd be a different. It wouldn't be the same. See, you have to trust in the Lord and lean ye not upon your own understanding. My understanding is that God wants me to do it this way, and you just run out there and do it. You see, because if David would have acted on his own presuming that God again would say, go up, he would have made a very great mistake because God didn't want him to go up. God says, do not go up. What I'm saying is what you have to do today may not be the same tomorrow. What was right yesterday may not be right today. Have you ever tried something and it worked out so good? Now, we had a couple that we went on a second honeymoon with. They said they wanted to go on their second honeymoon. We hadn't been on one. And they tried to recapture that first love and that first honeymoon, and they did everything in detail the same way. Let's see, on that night, then we played cards. And on this night, and they tried to relive the thing, and it didn't work out, and they were miserable. Why are we having fun? So then they start blaming it on us. Well, the reason is because you're here. Well, my God, how did we get into this mess? We had no car. We had no way of getting out of there. We were captive. for a whole week. So they were out there, and the wife, she was a little jealous, and we were first married, and anything we did was wrong. Because they were trying to relive, and that's the same way in our Christian walk, if we try to redo something, rehash it. Oh, I remember it was great and glorious back there, and we'll do the very same thing, and it will be great and glorious again. That's not true. When you do it by your own might and your own power, it won't work out, because God says it's by my Spirit. That's just like while you're preaching. If people aren't in the Spirit while they're listening, they ain't going to get the spiritual message. They're going to get a flesh message, and they're going to, oh, I'm sore and sweaty and yucko, huh? See, you have to prepare yourself to hear, and I have to prepare myself to teach, but I have to seek a direction before I get up. The same way that you have to seek a direction before that you sit down to listen. We have to have the direction of the Lord. But the first time God said, go up. Second time, don't go up. Never be satisfied with the first direction that you had before, some years back or a week before. Always go to God for direction and support before you go out again. Go to God again and again and again and again and again and every day and always. And seek a direction from the Lord. But anyway, I think a lot of times kids do that. Well, my dad said to do this. And so now, but it's a different situation now. But you said so. You ever been in that predicament with your kids? Yes, I know I said so. But I didn't say so in this instant. Listen and learn. Huh? How many know your kids need direction? And what that you gave them yesterday might not hold true today, and they have to come and ask you again. And you must teach them to do that. Because in every situation, it's different. We must teach them also to wait for a direction. Maybe that day you were feeling a little ornery when the kid came in with some sand on his head. If anyone ever does that to you again, dump a bale and a pail of sand on their head. Don't you take it. And then some nice little kid comes over and they're out there and you look out the window and the company's inside. Whoops! But I didn't mean for you to do it every time. Give my point? I'm saying if you go to him daily for manna, you may well go to him for counsel daily also. And I believe here that David wisely did so. I'm afraid many Christians jump the gun and act on impulse and must suffer the consequences, and many times they enter into great schemes and plans simply because it sounds good. But there's a lesson in that too, isn't there? Sometimes, as a preacher, as a leader, you have to allow people, if it isn't going to be too big of a mistake, to go in and learn a vital lesson, to wait upon the Lord. And even though it sounds good, did God actually tell you and open up the door for you to do that thing? So many times we miss what we're really supposed to do. You know why? Because we are busy doing something God never intended for us to do. You ever been caught in that thing? I have. Outside of leadership, on our own, like these wild, what do you call them when they drill these wells? They're wildcats? They go out there and they say, well, I'll just go over here and I'll take a few thousand dollars and I'll go over here and wildcat. And he keeps pumping this money into this wildcatting. And he loses. Outside of leadership, outside of authority, doing his own thing, and he loses millions upon impulse. I think many should kneel before they peel. Peel out. Oh, there's so many that get going on the get set or get going on your marks. And they take off before God says go. They say, well, I know God's going to say go. He said get set, or he said on your marks. And off they head. That's like a person that runs in the Olympics. So the race is set for 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but 2 o'clock in the morning, the guy gets out there and runs the race and has a record-breaking time. Does it count? Does it? Does it count when we don't wait for the direction of the Lord and we jump the gun even though we have the battle plan and we know what God wants us to do, but he hasn't said go? Doesn't count. That'd be like a boxer that goes over to the opponent's house the night before and knocks him out. Do you think that his manager told him to do this? Of course he did. But only to do it in the ring. But the boxer says, you said, I don't care how you do it, but knock him out. Well, that's true, but you didn't wait until I said now. You didn't wait until your mother sitting down there in the front row with her darling little darning needle says, son, kill! You know. Now, right? You didn't wait. You didn't wait. You didn't wait upon the Lord. You went ahead all on your own, and we do that so many times. We predetermine what God wants us to do. No, we don't wait for the direction. We jump the gun. We have to learn how to wait upon the Lord and always pray before we act. Kneeling won't hurt your knees, not at all. It'll make you strong of foot, brave in the heart, clear in the brain, and if man will only wait upon God, it will help his own mind to form a correct judgment. How many times have I saw this happen in marriages where, oh, it looks so good, and whoop! Forgot one thing. You forgot to wait upon the Lord. Now they drive down to Vegas, and they can just drive through. I do, and they go right through, drive through. Or they get into these little chapels. Huh? $65. To go through the chapel, of course, it's $150 for the suit and $40 for the flowers. And by the time you get done, you know, you've spent about $500,000 just to get married. God isn't in it. Say amen. Ooh. And if a man will wait, God will give him guidance. Oh, Lord, that he never dreamed. See, when you go to God, at first he might give you a key to a maze. And you get this key, see, but it's only one step in the maze. And it opens up, and you're there, and you're in this house of mirrors, and you have to wait for direction from the Lord. And so you just wait. You don't get frustrated, but you wait upon the Lord. And all of a sudden, a voice will come over here, and you walk through there. Then you stop again, and you wait upon the Lord over here. And you keep going, and you keep going until you get through that maze. And so it's a continuing waiting upon the Lord. See, so many times we get directions. We do the whole thing because God said move, and we go through the first door, and we knock down the rest of the doors to get to go into what God wants us to do. And we're in the wrong room. You got to wait on the Lord each movement. That's like when we first came down here. I got down here, and I thought, my God, now what? Or when we bought a camp years ago, I got up and stood up on top of a hill and I said, now what? Here's this great big piece of land, but now what? I think I am thoroughly convinced now that God does not want me to have a camp. Say amen, somebody. It sounded good at the time, but all that I received for myself was weariness. Because you want to know why? God wasn't in it. Nobody else was in it either. Yeah, I went and jumped the gun. Have you ever jumped the gun? Maybe you're praying about some kind of a job situation right now. And the impulse is to jump here and to jump there and so on like that. No, wait upon the Lord. Be busy doing His work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added onto you. But wait until He says, go get that job. Oh, God. Help us to wait at these very waiting stations along the way. You go in for the interview, you go back home. Looks so good, you say, well, looks good, but I'm going to wait on the Lord. While you're waiting on the Lord, go to the next place. And so on, and so on, and so on, while you're busy out there doing the Lord's work, witnessing and talking to people and so on like that. Maybe job number 16 out of the 50 you went to will call you up and say, hey, we've decided that we need you. You understand what I'm saying? That we have to pray and we have to get down on our knees and seek direction before we move. But anyway, let's look at David's experience as it is recorded in a remarkable verse in the following way. And number one, here is first a prime necessity promise. Listen, God promises He will be with David. Oh, that is such a beautiful promise. When we follow and we're seeking direction from the Lord, and the Lord says, I will be with thee. Glory. Don't you want to have God with you? Why jump the gun? Why get nervous at the traces? Why jump ahead? And that He will even go before him in this holy war. Oh, God going before you. You seek direction. And you wait upon the Lord, and God goes before you, and then you follow. Do you think you're going to have some kind of a victory? I do. Then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. But then secondly, let's look at this. Here is a consequent action commanded. Then thou shalt bestir thyself, means wake up thyself, for then thou, the Lord shall go before thee. And thirdly, here is a very helpful sign afforded when thou hearest the sound going or marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. When you hear me whispering up above, and I'm marching up in the mulberry trees. Move. Not until. Lastly, there is a sure result following. And listen. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou came to Gazer. So now, number one, to begin with, here is a prime necessity promised. Then shall the Lord go out before thee. Wasn't that a necessity with David? For the Lord had long ago, and He had shown David long, long ago, that all of his dependence must be upon Him. And also it's a necessity with us. Never depend upon yourself. I know this, if any souls are to be saved, it must be by the work of God. The Holy Spirit must prepare the way. Oh, the other day I was out on the bread line, and a man kept standing there, and I had given him his bread, and I had talked to him and everything, but he just stood, waiting, actually waiting upon the Lord. And so I laid my hand upon his shoulder, and I said, brother, I'm going to give you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And he got born again. Now, do you suppose God had worked on him way before? When he was born, God was working on him. Up until that very hour, God, by the Holy Spirit, was working upon him. God had gone before. Our faithful God had gone before. The power of the Holy Spirit had opened up the man's heart, ministering angels round about, and he said, yes, I will receive the gospel. Ooh, glory to God. God going before ensures success. Oh, even if it's only a seed planted. Someone else that says, well, come along and water. Then it says, God will give the increase. And so you see, it's a necessity with us before we came down here to the north side. Many things were worked out in the minds of people. Before we even got down here, God had been working on this old building down here closed for all them years. And he had been working on the hearts of people. Do you believe that? I do. I remember some 20 years before driving down Penn Avenue, and I thought about this later in my ministry, some 20, 25 years ago, and I thought, this is kind of a weird-looking street here. There was the same thing happened to me when we moved out there to where we're at, Brooklyn Park. The same feeling came over me. One day, by chance, I ducked back in there. I was on the wrong road. I wanted to get on East River Road, and I was on West River Road, and somehow I drove through there, and it was just a woods, and there was a witnessing in my spirit. There was a stirring in the mulberry treetops. And the same thing happened when I drove down Penn Avenue some 25 years before. It was an eerie feeling. It was a rustling in the mulberry branches, a marching, if you will, of God's angels just above. And when I got down here and I drove down that street, and I hadn't driven down it since, I drove down it and came in here, I thought, there's something about this place. There's something about that street. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, I have gone before thee. And I didn't even know what that meant then. I'll tell you the truth about it. Now I'm beginning to realize that God goes before us, and we have the victory when God goes before us. No, not before, though. If we jump the gun, we pull at the traces. If we try to move ahead without the Lord, Lord God is not in it. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah! I think that's so great that God is with us. And it's the same way. People's heart must be prepared to receive. Before you came here, God did something in you. Maybe you had a real hard time yesterday. Maybe this message will set you free. Maybe you come in and you sit down and maybe you're listening on the radio and you're listening and you're in rebellion and you're just feeling mean and, I hope nothing works out. I hope everybody, huh? Did you ever get that way? Did you? Do you? Never? Sure you do. Maybe you're sitting there like that and maybe this message will set you free. I don't know. But God prepared you. God allowed you to get meaner. Sometimes people are meaner than hell itself. And they'll come in here and they'll just get so free. Glory to God. God prepared them. God allowed them to get so mean and so nasty. And then the message showed them how nasty they were and they got set free. Oh, preacher, don't be dismayed by their faces. People need counsel. Are you hearing this, preacher, listening to the radio? Hallelujah. God prepares people for a message. And sometimes they come in and they're just like the kids. And they're listening on the radio and they sit down, okay, I'll listen. Huh? And don't our kids do the same thing? I said, go in there and sit down. Okay. I said, eat your supper. All right. But don't they get a good look at themselves? Huh? And it's the same way with us, isn't it? God prepares people, preacher, to hear a message, and sometimes they come in and they're wretched and they're miserable and they're poor and they're in rebellion. But glory to God, God has prepared them and allowed them to get that way so the preacher would go ahead with the anointing of God and set them free. My God, and that's what preaching is all about, to set the captives free. And don't you forget it, preacher, if you're listening to me right now, at a quarter to two. Said it, and I'm glad. Preacher, he may even show you the battlefield. You may even have a vision in your sleep. You may have the game plan in advance, but until he says like this, and until thou hearest the sound going up or the marching, and hearest the sound of that marching in the treetops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself, and not until, sit and wait until you hear from me. Do nothing till you hear from me. You ever hear that song? God's singing it too. Do nothing till you hear from me. Oh, I thought to myself, imagine that you know the battle is coming. No, so many times in my minister, preacher, if you're listening to me today, I know the battle is coming. I can tell by that spirit that's upon the neighborhood, or that spirit that's upon the Church of Jesus Christ round the world. I can tell by my spirit and witness down inside of my spirit that the battle is coming. But waiting on that sound of it's coming before you to move. Oh, that's so hard to do, to wait for the Lord to say, move, when God has given you a message and he says, don't you preach it right now. No, don't you do it. But that's exactly what we must do. We must wait upon the Lord, and we must wait until them angels start shaking them old mulberry trees up there, so he scatters the old enemy out there, because he knows God is in it. Say amen, somebody. When our Lord came into the world, glory to God, was not the world prepared for him? Was it not prophesied that a babe would be born in a manger? Was it not prophesied that he'd be on a cross, nailed to the cross, despised of men, spat upon? Was it not said then that he would go down 3 days and raise again unto life, hallelujah, and then go to the right hand of the Father? Yes. Oh, yes. Whoa. And when that big old fish swallowed up Jonah, do you know what? At one time, that was just a little bitty old fish swimming along. Some big old fish coming, bit on it, and God had to boop it out. And that fish, that's a nasty tasting little fish. That fish grew into a large fish because it was a fish that was prepared by God to swallow Jonah. God is in it. Hallelujah. How many are hearing this? Woo! God went before him. And also God prepares hearts to receive. Well, how does he do that? It might even be through the loss of a loved one. A look at one's sinful self. All of a sudden the prostitute gets up. Her hair is all scraggly this way and all scraggly that way, and her pancake makeup isn't on her pen anymore. It's run down the side of her neck and it's hanging on the side of her arms. She looks in the mirror and she's got great big bags under her eyes. She's got one sock on and one sock off, and it's dragging on the floor. And her clothes are all icky and stinky. And her armpits stink, and she takes a look at herself. She says, oh God, I am such a mess. And God prepared her even through that. Are you saying, Pastor, that someone has to be a whore? I'm saying no, that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord. And seek him at that time. God puts something on the inside. All of a sudden that whore looks at herself and she says, oh my God. God prepared her. Don't judge people. Well, God works it out. Maybe, businessman, right now you're going to go through a trial in your business. Did you ever think that that could be God preparing you to receive? And all of a sudden you have no money. All of a sudden you're not popular anymore. And all of a sudden they're driving in and the guy's giving you a little, you know, the guy with the, what do they call him? The guy with the mustache that sticks way out here, the landlord. Gives you the papers and your business has to go under and it goes bankrupt. And everybody's looking, well, you know, I kind of figured that the business wasn't run quite right. Now, if I was in there, see, I would have done this and I would have done that and I would have done this and so on. And you have to listen to all that. But through all that humbling, God is preparing you for the gospel of Jesus. Or maybe you find out that you are a frumpy mom. Okay? Listening on the radio, maybe you are a frumpy mom. And God allows you to be like that. You sleep until 2:30 in the afternoon, and no one dares wake you up. only to see as the world flip-flops and then go back to sleep again. Ooh, now that was for somebody. Praise God. But don't you see, honey, God is preparing you? Maybe this message will hit you right between the eyes. You'll take off that dirty old house scope and them old floppy slippers and that old house scope, and you'll get busy and start washing your dishes and cleaning your walls and stop complaining about all the neighbors and how life was been to you and how you married the wrong man and all that. Don't you worry about it. You get another one, he wouldn't put up with you at all. Say amen. Did you hear me? I said say amen through all them old tears because God's dealing with you to get right. That's all right. God allowed you to be that way so you could get saved. God prepared you. Or maybe you're going to have hard times. Oh, I tell you, God's going to work in hard times. Right now, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And government in high places is going to be shaking. And even right now, they're shaking in their boots up there at the White House. They got cockroaches. They can't get rid of them up there the same as we got them down here. Say amen, somebody. Hey, it's no more different up there in the White House than it is down here in this house. Say amen. My God, they got bugs everywhere. But anyway, let's get on with the message here. And people are going to find out there's a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of hard times. And I sat with a politician the other night, and he says, they're going to find out they're not going to get that general assistance anymore. They don't deserve it. And I looked at the guy, and I thought, well, I'm not even going to answer that. They don't deserve that. They deserve more than $199. Huh? Say amen. Oh, God's going to prepare. God wants the Church of Jesus Christ to get up off it and do their work now. Start to trust in Him for warehouses full of food. Jammed to overflowing for that 7 bad years that's come. If there be 7 good, there be 7 bad. And if we stir up now and listen to the voice of the Lord, how do you stir up? By giving it away. You're not stirring up down here. You're stirring up riches in heaven. You're not stirring up, preacher. You're not stirring up fame and fortune and popularity down here. You're going to be unpopular. I don't expect to be a popular preacher the way I preach. And then my stab is to get people to work. Praise God. Because there's a work to be done. And Friday night's message just it pointed it out. You're not going to be a popular preacher if you preach and present the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ when people are having a hard time. But I'll tell you one thing, it's the power of the gospel unto salvation, and people get saved out of it. That's what it's all about. God is going to use this whole situation. You go to get your unemployment? Closed. You go on over here to get your retirement benefits? Closed. They can make new rules. They can't. It's against the law. They'll just make a new law. We decided to pass a new law. What are you going to do about it? We decided not to have any more unions. We decided to have everything made in Norway or Sweden or Greece or Italy. What are you going to do about it? God's using it. God is going to use it. You're seeing a move of God right now. Yes, you are. You're seeing a stirring in the mulberry branches right now. I feel it. I hear it in my spirit. I know something's going on. I know it's going to be so fantastic. People are going to come running to Christ like they never have before because there isn't going to be anything else out there. Oh, God is dealing with people. And all of a sudden, people are starting to turn around. All these gals are living with these old spoiled brat boys. And the boy goes from one girl to the next girl and so on like that and so on like that. God's dealing with me. Say amen. God is using all that. All things are working together for good. God prepared a park to work for us. I'd never heard that ever done anywhere in the United States, where a church went together with a park and raised funds for the park so they could buy uniforms for the kids. Huh? I never heard it ever work before where a church goes into the world and starts working for the gathering of funds for private organizations. That's a turnaround, isn't it? So you can send kids to camp, so you can do this, so you can do that. God is opening up doors right now. Say amen. It's exciting to me, folks, that God is opening up all them doors. And when there's a time of trouble right down here in River City, God is using that even. Say amen. Are you having trouble in your marriage? God will use that. Are you having problems with sin? God will use that. God uses everything. I tell you, even now, I hear a slight movement in the tops of the mulberry trees. People are picked and elected to be here today. Did you know that? Certain amount of people are picked and they are elected to be sitting in this audience and listening to this radio right now. I got a call from KUXL, and he says, now we're giving you another day free. So we're on 7 days a week. We're getting half of our radio time free. So even though you don't see this as a full house right here, there's a full house listening out there. Say amen, somebody. That's just the way it is when God opens up doors, isn't it? When God opens up a door, no man will close it. When God closes a door, no man will open it up. You just wait on me till you hear some kind of movement up in the tops of them mulberry trees. I tell you, God is opening up doors for the salvation of souls right now. If we can't get excited about that, then we need to come up to the altars of God and say, God, help me. From the very moment we are born, God starts working upon our hearts, and people come and get saved, but oh, how God prepared them for it. Maybe they had a close call with death. One night I was up here at the hospital. I forget why I was up there. A young man came in and he had a post stuck in the middle of his chest. It was about this long. It was a fence post and it had broken off and jammed right down inside of his chest. And he was holding it like this, and they had him on the bed, and they were propping the thing up, and they had to take this thing out from his innards. But you know, he received the Lord Jesus Christ right there. Oh, God. Isn't our Lord wonderful? Isn't he beautiful? Maybe it's a broken home. Maybe it's a life savings gone. Maybe it's a betrayal by friends. Many things have prepared hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I look back on my own life at all the different tragedies, and I see God's hands leading. All those different things leading me to that final yes, Lord. That's like I thought about. I sat down for dinner. I was up here and I thought, well, talk about preparation. Have steak, potatoes, salad, and coffee. Well, that's nothing. It is bread. No, a cow had to be born. Think about that. Had to be raised, had to eat grain. Someone had to take care of it, and then they had to kill it, and then they had to, you know, slaughter at the slaughterhouse and cut it all up and bring it to that cafe over there, and the guy had to buy it and bring it there and cook it and give it to me. Someone had to bring them potatoes in, wash them, peel them, buy them, plant them, do all that kind of thing. Just so I could have a dinner. Hey, there's a lot of prep work goes into a sinner before he's sent our way. Say amen, somebody. There's a whole lot of prep work going on right now in the world. Don't you worry. Don't you think God does not know what's going on and all this filth and AIDS and all this junk. God knows what he's doing. Through all of that, he is preparing hearts to receive Jesus Christ. Oh no, that is a devil. The devil doesn't do anything without God knowing about it. People are being prepared like never before because of the condition of the world, because of the fear of H-bombs and bombs that we don't even talk about and supernatural things flying around in space out there. And people's hearts are being prepared. Say amen, somebody. And it says in the Bible also that even almost the elect will be fooled. And you'll see them start to, see even Christians will start to change their clothes, even look like the world. Say amen. So if you're